Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. I have a 2022 episode of Desert Oracle Radio for you in a few minutes. And this one has a message I think we can all relate to, so stay tuned. But first, let's catch up. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and bonus dads. This day has a lot of us remembering our dads for better or for worse. Some dads inspire and some teach us what not to do, and maybe most of them do both. I also think of the Father Sky and Mother Earth symbolism of the duality of nature. Our guests, Colette and Robin from last week, had this insight to share.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Roxana, is there is no divine feminine without the divine masculine. We sort of work together in synchronicity. And the divine feminine is all about receiving. It's about what is appropriate. The question for the divine feminine is, what is appropriate? And the masculine is all about the doing of it. And we all have both of these aspects inside of us. So divine feminine asks what's appropriate, divine masculine asks what's possible. And that's where our courage comes in. And we all have both within us. So I think this book and this journal really addresses both aspects well.
Robert?
Beautifully said, Colette. And I think, too, we can thank the fathers for their sense of wanting to protect and do and achieve and be a supportive roof over our divine feminine. So, as Colette was saying, when we consider that we all have masculine and feminine within, and I think on Father's Day, most of the time as men grow, it seems like they learn more and more what it is to really be a father and the best father they would like to be. And how lovely when those in their family have appreciated and can honor that. Sometimes how challenging if they wanted to be more of a father than they felt they could be, or if the family is not completely in accord. But that's all right, because we're all works in progress, right? So our inner father can be changing and growing and maturing along with outer fathers. So I think it's wonderful to have this day to support father energy, which at its best is kind and protective and action oriented, to be going out there and doing that part of us that says, oh yes, let's go out and have an amazing experience, because the inner feminine has said, ooh, this appeals to me, I got this in my gut, I have a vision for this. And then the outer masculine and father says, let's go do that, you bet, follow me.
I love that. Today there's a jet flying overhead, and I am enjoying the blue sky and the cumulus clouds that are rolling across it. It's so amazing to me when the rain stops and the brightness appears. Did you get to enjoy the blue sky and sun this week? I love the rain, no doubt about it. And the thunder, lightning, and hail are amazing too. But then when the sun comes out, I'm going to get some time in on my outdoor creations. This week, it's been a snake made of shale winding along a slope next to our driveway. I wonder what you like to do when the rain takes a break. This week has been full of little Buddhas for me too. My son coined that expression when his children were very small. Little Buddhas for us has come to mean those things and people that give you a chance to practice patience. The ants always show up in my house when rains go on for more than a day, and I've been doing ant catch and release to move them back outside. I mean, they're just being ants. So is the spider in her web, spun into a corner on the floor of the room where the ants are most likely to show up. Spider is being spider. The ants and spider are my little Buddhas, my little teachers. So are the loud motors of trucks going up the road right at the point where I'm trying to capture some birdsong sounds for this show. So many little Buddhas. This was also a week of finding lost things. Have you ever had one of those weeks you misplace about 3 or 5 different things and then find them all within a couple days? No. Maybe it's just my age showing. Well, any day I find something I misplaced is a good day. Right now, it's time for Desert Oracle Radio. This episode was produced by Ken Lane, March 11th, 2022, and the title says it all, Antidote for Despair. Enjoy.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and everything has been singing to me lately from outside. The house finches in the morning having returned. The coyotes by night. Here's something to think about next time you see some desert wildlife on the trail or on the road. Most of what we consider desert wildlife is just North American wildlife. Bobcats, rattlesnakes, red-tailed hawks, the cougars we call mountain lions, all North American wildlife. Mule deer and bighorn sheep are common Western North American species. Somewhere along the ways, we carved up and paved over and intensively farmed and fracked the country. The desert wilderness became a refuge, a last refuge. Especially from the viewpoint of people living in the big suburbs and cities of the West. You go out to the desert, you might see some living creatures besides people. And pigeons. Well, of course, we have some unique creatures here in the deserts. In the Mojave, we've got our own special double toxin pit viper, the Mojave green rattlesnake, for one. And we have the immortal 90-year-old golf champions of Palm Desert, the Thunderbird Country Club, who live solely off rare steaks and cocktails. It's incredible. And let's not forget the little-loved instant rednecks, as Ed Abbey used to call them. Straight from San Diego or Seattle, fully costumed in vintage cowboy boots, vintage blue jeans, a vintage straw hat, and 9 or 10 faded bandanas, the natural attire provided by Etsy or Depop or some such online shop. There was a funny bit of wildlife research in the news a few weeks back. It shows up in the news every year or two. But somehow the story never sticks. It turns out there are no alpha males or alpha females in wolf packs. That whole thing was based on some wolves in a captive domestic situation where they were all miserable and insane. And there was one great bully who had probably been half poisoned or was crossbred with Joe Biden's line of German police dogs. So no alpha males, after all those Reddit threads and Proud Boys meetups for nothing. According to wildlife ecologist Barbara Zimmerman of the Norway University of Applied Sciences, the alpha wolf idea is, quote, not a concept that works for wolves in the wild. Like their very close cousins, the coyotes, most wolf packs are just the parents and their offspring, from pups to young adults up to about 3 years old. Says Barbara Zimmerman, the adults are simply in charge because they are the parents of the rest of the pack members. We don't talk about the alpha male, the alpha female, and the beta child in a human family. I mean, people probably do, but we talk about a lot of things. When wolves leave their family, their pack, is to find a mate outside their usual crowd. So where did the alpha wolf nonsense come from? Originally, from Rudolf Schinkel, who studied captive wolves at the Basel Zoo in Switzerland, where up to 10 wolves were kept penned up together with the enclosure about the size of a studio apartment. No wonder they went crazy. But even back in 1947, when Schinkel published his wolf studies, he made a point of mentioning that his control group was captive. And, quote, it was possible that wild wolf packs consisted of a monogamous pair, their puppies, and 1 to 2 year old pups. But this information was overlooked. Overlooked for 70 years at this point, and it was amplified in 1970 by David Meck, who used all that alpha, beta, wolf lingo and for decades after begged his publisher to update his book because the alpha wolf stuff was all wrong. So now we've got all these guys spending all their time at the gym lifting barbells or whatever so they can be the alpha male in line at the Walmart, and it's not even applicable to wild wolves, let alone humans. And wild wolves, it turns out, make families in the usual way common to canine and human both. Two parents, children of various ages, occasional disputes. And one thing about wolves is they never ever go to the gym. Let's talk about some of God's creatures, great and small, who've never been to a 24-hour fitness center and never spent years trying to stop the auto payments off the credit card for a gym they lived nearby years ago. Along with the wolves, and the cougars, and the coyotes, the black-tailed mule deer, and the red-tailed hawks. Roadrunners, of course. And gopher snakes, the aforementioned bobcats and bighorn, all at the apex of what you'd call physical fitness. Lean and fast and mostly spending their energy wisely, the way it was intended, resting, sleeping, dreaming and dozing. Not just our animal friends, of course. John Muir was done in by pneumonia in his late 70s, but he was a constant walker and backcountry dreamer till the end. Never did a free month trial at LA Fitness. And you can say the same with full authority about Walt Whitman or Henry David Thoreau. And of many other romantic writers, such as William Wordsworth, who merrily hiked across Switzerland and France and took long daily walks with his sister Dorothy Wordsworth. Both loved the wild weather and enjoyed nothing quite as much as getting lost. George O'Keefe never went to a Zumba class, but she managed to keep moving across the Texas plains and New Mexico high desert, the places she called home for so many decades. Usually just walking, roaming. Like our artists and sages and outlaws have always done. Among her expeditions were several rafting trips down the Colorado, including a memorable river run through the now lost Glen Canyon. There was Nan Shepherd, author of that one single majestic book, The Living Mountain, ever rambling over the wilds of Scotland. Simone de Beauvoir, the great French philosopher and author, would often disappear for 30-mile strolls. 30 miles in a day, through the countryside and over the mountains of France. Mary Hunter Austin and her haunting story called The Walking Woman well describes the old mystery of seeing one who is always walking in the distance, always passing through. Mrs. Walker, as the cowboys and sheep herders referred to her in the story, passing through mining camps and Indian villages like a ghost. Now, once does she purchase an internet-connected, subscription-based exercycle. Here's how the Western journalist Kate Seiber describes Mary Hunter Austin doing what Mary Hunter Austin loved best. Austin traveled boldly across open country, often alone. She spirited through expanses of yucca, along dry riverbeds, and into the forests of the Sierra Nevada. She made friends with Spanish shepherds, Mexican and Chinese immigrants, miners, Shoshones, and Paiutes. It's the best time of year to walk, in the western U.S. anyway. So I hope you're doing that. Thank you. This is our time. The only time we are alive. Every age has challenges, disasters, plagues, war, cruelty. And what seems to be cataclysmic end of the world likelihoods and possibilities. But we have to live in our time and make the most of it. Looking back, most of our greatest revolutionaries, especially in the fields of ecology and environmentalism, have been cheerful and energetic souls. Think of John Muir, who witnessed the deforestation of much of America, yet found in this horror a cause to give his life a joyful direction in the face of adversity. Despair eats away at our souls. The most Orwellian thing we can do is wake up in the morning and say to ourselves, I wonder how the war is going today. And to then submerge our one and only soul in a miserable stew of internet content that is made to make us feel bad. What is the antidote for such despair? A lot of it's local. Local in terms of inside your head, what you're doing, where you live. There are community gardens that could use your hands and your attention. Local land trusts, volunteer groups who help with wildfire restoration and trail maintenance. People who go to the beach every weekend and collect trash. When you do rewarding things with other people, it works against not just the global despair, but the personal loneliness of feeling like others don't care. If the people around you right now don't care, find a group of people who do. We have a couple of swords dangling over our heads today, no doubt. The big ones, I bet you've heard of these, are the continuing threat of nuclear war and the ongoing crisis of rapid climate change. But our ancestors experienced worse, if you think about it. It was only about 10,000 years ago when the ice that covered most of the northern hemisphere was in retreat. And then, as we recovered as a species, we helped drive the megafauna to extinction. It's always something. But, and this is an important but, climate change is not written in stone. There are undoubtedly losses today and in the coming decades, but Earth and nature are resilient. And the latest science, which gets far less attention than the doom scrolling, suggests a period of just 3 to 5 years of net zero carbon emissions can stabilize global temperatures. We've been fed a diet of climate doom for so long that it's difficult to apply to the limited years we have in this earthly form. If global temperatures aren't going to stabilize for another half century after we halt carbon exhaust, well, I'm pretty sure I won't be here. Although, who knows, maybe I'll make it to 105. Georgia O'Keeffe lived to 98, after all. And she did not even have access to the mail-order life extension supplements from Gwyneth Paltrow or Alex Jones. 3 to 5 years. That's nothing. That's a pandemic and a half. We've gone longer than that without haircuts. Or showers, in some cases. When there's nothing but gloom and despair, then our climate scientists and environmentalists, may their non-God bless them all, keep vomiting up that same gloom and despair, and then get even more depressed when people, rationally, run in the other direction. So let's try to get this into our heads. When we stop artificially pumping CO2 into the atmosphere, it's going to stop getting hotter. Just like that, 3 years, 5 years. People waste that much time on video games or going to Pilates. I've got stuff in the freezer that old. Maybe it's still good. If you're lucky enough to be a younger person, the rest of your life can be relatively normal. You're already used to more frequent wildfires, drought, more extreme weather, but the world is still beautiful and will remain so. And in the years and decades after things stabilize, after more of our planet's oceans and surface are protected so that life can thrive, after we all go to the gym and solar-powered drone pods with no windows. No, we don't have to do that last part. We can choose our future. It's just an unfortunate part of human nature evolved over millions of years with good reason that makes future danger less important than today's danger. But as the effects get so much more expensive and ugly for rich nations especially, so too does the response become quicker. Look how quickly the supposedly green government of Germany decided to go all in on renewable energy. Strangely, just a few months after going all in on a Russian natural gas pipeline. While emissions continue to rise today, and infrastructure is rapidly being constructed over this past dozen years or so especially, that finally makes solutions possible to put into place worldwide. EVs are mainstream, battery storage of renewable energy is replacing real-world oil, coal-burning power plants. Large governments around the world are embracing the 30 or 50% land conservation goals. And private companies are going faster than governments because there is tremendous money to be made in renewables and net zero technology. Here's something about global shipping from just last month. Did not get much coverage on the doom scroll. Quote, Los Angeles and Shanghai have initiated a partnership of cities, ports, shipping companies, and cargo owners in China and the United States to create a first-of-its-kind green shipping corridor across the Pacific Ocean on one of the world's busiest container shipping routes. The port of Shanghai, which is the world's busiest port, and the port of Los Angeles, the world's 17th busiest, have set a joint goal to transition to zero-carbon-fueled ships by 2030. It's already 2022. Low-emission and zero-emission cargo ships are in production today. At the same One Ocean UN conference where the green corridors were announced, a French company called Energy Observer announced their liquid hydrogen cargo ship, which will be carrying cargo in 3 years and can replace one-third of the global shipping fleet. The hydrogen, of course, has to be produced with carbon-neutral energy, which, as Germany is suddenly realizing, can happen real quick when people set their minds to it. So the next time somebody tells you the world is ending and there's nothing anybody can do about it, run them off with a stick. It's a good form of cardiovascular activity for both of you. Be of good cheer. Do what you can without losing your mind over it. Isaacs and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, and I am your host, Ken Lane. You heard some new soundscapes tonight by Joshua Tree's own Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And you can find us online at desertoracle.com. You can order whatever we have left to sell. And support this show via patreon.com/Desert Oracle. And you can find all 150 plus episodes of this program. From several of you who got out to Sima Dome in Mojave National Preserve to plant some baby Joshua trees where that big fire swept through more than a year ago now. And I have seen a lot of photographs of happy people up there doing the Lord's work, grinning in the cold wind, carrying the little Joshua trees to whatever chosen spots, like little baby Yodas. That's the way to defeat despair. Check with your local land trust or state park or national monument or whatever you got nearby. There's always something nearby. And see what you can do to give a hoot and etc. Our Desert Oracle Volume 1 paperback is available now at bookstores everywhere, especially in the American Southwest. Thanks for putting us on the California bestsellers list for I don't know how many weeks in a row now. 4, I think? And thank you for listening, friends. Of the desert.
So, are you looking to ward off despair? The Gallatin Watershed Council listed a couple events coming up that would welcome your help. First, are you interested in caring for newly planted trees? The 25 trees planted at Bronken Park last spring are approaching their second summer and will soon be thirsty. Volunteers will give each tree 20 gallons of water on a biweekly basis from June to October. To learn more or to sign up, contact Heather at Gallatin Watershed Council.org. There will also be a riparian planting at Gallatin County Regional Park Friday, July 7th at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday, July 8th at 8 a.m. Join the Gallatin Watershed Council, Craighead Institute, and Sacagawea Audubon Society in a riparian planting event at Gallatin County Regional Park. They'll be planting 58 native vegetation species to enhance wildlife habitat, improve water quality, and increase shade for park users. Again, contact Heather at Gallatin Watershed Council.org. Oh, and KGVM is looking for DJs. There will be a DJ training at the station on Saturday, June 24th at 10 a.m., and I believe DJ Ruth is in charge. If you're interested, please contact KGVM by phone at 406-624-6534, or you can send an email to info@kgvm.org. And for many more volunteering opportunities, you can go to the volunteermatch.org website. Just enter your community name and you will see a list of a variety of volunteer needs. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, for listening. As always, you can call me and leave a message about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246. Remember to spread the word that you can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. All of our Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. Well, that's it for today. So till next time, listeners, be safe, stay well, and sweet dreams. Thanks to Eric Clapton for his song, Change the World, to take us out.
The stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth, and this love I have inside is everything it seems, but for now I the world. world.